Celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves, Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
Is your boat registered and insured for the summer season? Most boats must have proof of insurance on board and be properly registered with bow numbers and stickers. Take the Utah Boating or Coast Guard Auxiliary courses and you just might get a discount on your insurance. For a copy, call 801-538-BOAT. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
Faster Utah empowers teachers, administrators, and other school staff to defend themselves in case of a school shooting. We teach advanced firearms and trauma first aid skills. Graduates of the Faster program pass the same post-qualification shoot as Utah law enforcement. For more information and find out how you can help, go to fasterutah.org.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
Put on your helmet. Let's go.
But, Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet, too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Spring is fast approaching, and Sportsman's Warehouse shares your passion for hiking, fishing, camping, and hunting. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. Sportsman's Warehouse has the latest in fishing to help you catch the big ones as the ice melts, or get above the inversion with new hiking boots. Their experts combined with a terrific selection truly make Sportsman's Warehouse the great indoors for those that love the great outdoors. Utah born and Utah proud, Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
Kindness. It's a single smile, a thoughtful word, a small, unexpected gesture. Whatever the act may be, it's something we call kindness. Yet sometimes in such a chaotic world, people forget the power that kindness holds. Kindness can brighten a moment, lift someone's spirits, turn a bad day into a good story. Kindness can make someone's week, or month, or year. Kindness can restore faith in humanity, and some say it can even make us healthier. All with a simple, small, perhaps unseen or anonymous act. So, think about this. What would happen if a small act of kindness sparked another small act of kindness, and then another, and another, and another? What if kindness became contagious, and all the small gestures done by many would make an impact felt around the nation, around the world? Imagine that power. And all it takes is one kind act a day.
Richter joins us online once again with Richter's Herbs. Thank you again for taking a few minutes with us.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
It's a sure honor to have you on the program again. We're excited about the upcoming spring, and I know that Richter's Herbs has some fantastic herbs available, as well as some other plants that will certainly enhance the experience for the gardener, the grower. And in addition to the enjoyment of growing, these herbs, these plants are also very good as far as our well-being, as far as personal health and our food security at our homes.
Exactly, yes. Of course, you know, that's been the history of herbs going back thousands of years. So relied on the plants growing in the nearby areas for their health, for their food. And in some ways, with the modern food system that we have today and the modern health system that we have today, we've become a little divorced from all of that. And so I thought it would be great to talk a little bit about that and remind people that there is a whole world out there, and we might be going through some uncertain times, but there is a whole world out there that can help protect our health and help us when food might be a little scarce to find. Who knows?
Well, you're exactly right. Culinary-wise, herbs can certainly enhance the flavors. It can make it much more desirable. It gives us variety in the way we eat our foods. In addition, medicine-wise, a lot of these herbs have provided some great remedies, some home remedies.
Yeah, we're not talking about major disease management that you really should go to a doctor. You really must go to a doctor and get professional medical care. But there's a lot of simple ailments, troubles that one encounters from day to day that you can easily treat by yourself with the plants that are growing in your garden or just growing out in the wild.
They're regularly good for bites and bruises and scratches and all kinds of skin problems that we may be, sunburns even. There's a lot of use in these in different herbs you provide.
Exactly, yeah. And a lot of times, these remedies are very easy to prepare. It's not like you need to take a detailed course to learn all of this. It's quite easy to make a salve or certainly to make different teas that will help you. And just adding, as you said, adding herbs to your food not only improves the flavor, but also improves the health benefits of the food. They often help improve the digestibility of the food that you're adding the herbs to. Or they may even help reduce bacterial count. But you have a food that maybe wasn't as clean as you thought. Adding a herb like thyme will actually help contend with the bacterial load that might happen. So yes, there's so many different benefits. I'd love to get into some of that.
I'm all about that. I know a couple of years ago we talked about hops and how hops were actually instrumental in beer making because of the way that it took care of the water.
Exactly, yes. To say that again, back in the Middle Ages when the monasteries were the place where beer was brewed, and they used barley and they would ferment it, and they would find that the beer wouldn't last more than a few days. And by accident, throwing in different herbs actually extended the life of the beer. It would last even several months even. And it turned out that hops, which grows wild in much of Europe, was one of the best in preserving the beer. And so, yeah, it's a fascinating story once you know these things.
I get excited about every time we visit because you always have additional stories like these.
The thing about food and health security, I think a lot of people are not quite aware of how precarious the situation is, our modern system can be. Of course, we get our food from the stores, and the supply tends to be fairly reliable. And of course, we have a modern medical system that we can rely on. We can go to the doctor, we can go to the hospitals, and so on and so forth. But there's a few interesting facts that I think will be worth mentioning. Think about food. Think about the different plants that provide food for us today on planet Earth. We rely on a relatively very few species of plants. The top 12 account for something like about three-quarters of the food that we eat today on this planet. Crops like corn and rice and wheat and so on and so forth. 80 species of plants accounts for 90% of our food. Four species, account directly or indirectly for 50% of our food. And yet, there are more than 200,000 plants on this planet, and at least 10,000 of them are actually edible. But of those edible plants, we're only using about 300. And as I mentioned a moment ago, the vast majority of that is in just 12 species of plants. So it's crazy, actually, when you think about it. You know, you go back in time, people use far more species for their everyday food supply than we do today. And when you look at health, just thinking about health, let me just finish on another point that I wanted to make. With the modern food systems, we have such dependency on these industrial farming techniques where you have large, large acreages of the same plant grown. And the problem with that is that you can have diseases developing. And we all know about the Irish potato famine back in the 1800s. Where one single plant was the major food supply for many people in that area, and all of a sudden it became susceptible to a disease and it wiped out the crop, and many people starved, and of course many Irish ended up emigrating to other parts of the world, including the United States. And the average store today, if you think of stores that sell produce, have only 3 days' worth of food at any one time. 3 days of fresh food at any one time. So when you go there into the store, you always see a nice array of fruits and vegetables and fresh milk and meats and so on and so forth. It just seems like food supply is pretty stable, but it wouldn't take much for the food to suddenly disappear off the shelves. And then coming to health, most people don't realize that more than 80% of our drugs that we get from the pharmacy are not manufactured in North America. They're coming from abroad. And at any time, through whatever international strife, trade instabilities, what have you, our supply of these medicines can just disappear very quickly. So these are some of the reasons why it's a good idea, I think, for people to be a little more aware of what they can do in their garden and be aware of the plants that are growing in their neighborhoods. What plants are useful for food? What plants are useful for medicine, for minor ailments, that sort of thing. So what are some of the things that are worth considering or looking for? Let's talk about some of the plants that we could be interested in addressing these health and food insecurities. Plants that we look for are typically perennial plants, hardy plants that compete well with the native plants in the area. They're easy to grow, and they don't need to be reseeded every year. Because, you know, you can never be sure completely that seeds will be available. So with those criteria in mind, there are some plants that I think would be worth considering and worth getting to know better. A plant that many people have seen in their areas is burdock. Now, I'm not entirely sure that burdock is common in your area, but certainly throughout much of my area here, burdock is everywhere.
It's here, too. It's a pesky one, too.
It's a pest, okay. And we all know you get the burrs that stick to you, and it can be a bit of a pain. So burdock is an incredible, not only medicinal plant, but also a food plant. And many people don't know that the roots, the fresh roots, are widely used in places like Japan for food. There they call it gobo, and they grow burdock varieties commercially to harvest the roots, and they use the roots in a variety of ways in dishes. You can steam them, you can pickle them, you can add spices to create interesting flavors. But burdock roots are really nutritious. If a pandemic of some sort came or some kind of catastrophe came, that would be one of my important go-to plants. Go find burdock in your area, dig up the roots, and, you know, those roots can store for quite a while. All you need is a cool, maybe down in your basement, you can just store them in sand, and they'll last for months.
It's surprising how big they are, too. I mean, they're pretty good-sized roots, and first time I ever used it was when I was doing a root beer project. That was one of the ingredients that I came across with the original recipes from the old times, and it's a big plant, and it's easy to find, and you're kind of killing two birds with one stone. You sometimes remove a pest, plus you got something you could eat.
Exactly, and burdock is a medicinal herb as well. You know, it helps improve overall health. I would say it's nutritious, one side of it, but it's also just generally improves overall health. It probably has a lot of compounds in it that have important effects on the body. So burdock is definitely a great plant to get to know and get to know how to use. Another one that grows wild, certainly in our area here, maybe in your area too, is chicory. You find chicory all over the place here, along the roadsides in particular, and it also has a root that you can harvest and eat. There are commercial varieties of chicory that are grown for the root, and are even used to make, for example, a coffee substitute, but can also be used as a vegetable, a fresh vegetable. It's a hardy perennial. It's easy. Well, in our area here, it competes very well with the local plants, and that's why you do find it out in the wild. And it's easy to find. It has a beautiful light blue flower, and once it's in bloom, it's very easy to find, and you can dig the roots, you can dry the roots, and as I say, you can make beverages, and very commonly, they're used to make coffee substitutes.
You can find them actually on many stores still. It's a big deal in New Orleans.
That's right, yeah. In fact, this afternoon, I just had a cup of chicory coffee, and it's something I love to have, so... These are examples of perennial herbs that will compete well. Another perennial herb that I think is a must-have, it's not one that you're going to find necessarily wild in your area, but it's certainly one that you can easily grow in your garden, and that is comfrey. Comfrey, again, is another root plant, long roots, but this is not a food plant. This is a medicinal plant, and it's going to help with things like ulcers and hard-to-heal wounds. And some people use it for more serious illnesses, but for our purposes today, we want to focus on common ailments, wounds that you might have, cuts and bruises. You would make a poultice out of the fresh fruit of the comfrey. But comfrey is very, very hardy, and all you need is really one or two plants in your garden, and you'll have plenty for your needs, for you and your family. You dig up the roots fresh, you chop up the roots, and you boil them until they become soft. You mash it up, and you make a poultice by putting it in this cooked mass into a cloth, wrap it in cloth, and then apply this to a wound that's maybe slow to heal. The thing about comfrey is that it contains a substance called allantoin. And allantoin has like a hormone-like property. It is actually found in pregnant women, because what it does is that it enhances cell division, therefore growth. So when you apply comfrey as a poultice on a hard-to-heal wound or cut or a bruise, what's happening is that the cell division starts to accelerate, and the healing process speeds up. It's a great herb to have. So easy to grow, and once you have it in your garden, you pretty much don't have to plant it again.
You're not kidding. Those are really aggressive plants, and I know the chickens like them too.
Oh, yeah. It has been used as a forage plant for various animals, pigs and goats and so on. So if you're interested in keeping number animals as well and you're having trouble providing fresh forage, this is a perfect plant for that purpose as well. Another plant to get to know is the common dandelion. Here's another coffee substitute herb. You can dig the roots and dry them. You can use them fresh. For coffee, of course, you would dig them, dry them, and roast them and make beverages that way. But it's also edible. These roots are edible, and not only the roots, but also the leaves are quite edible and highly nutritious. This is a plant everybody knows, the dandelion, but it would definitely be one of my go-to plants should we run into problems with our food and health security. And today, chefs are making these great dishes just with wild plants, such as the fresh leaves of the dandelion. You can make great salads with it. The foliage is bitter, but that bitterness is beneficial for your health. It helps improve digestion. And when you mix fresh salad with other things to maybe reduce the bitterness overall, it makes for a great salad. And so top chefs are now serving dandelion salads like that. And of course, the dandelion is a great beans and other pollinators just love the flowers. So it's just a great plant to have around. So of course, we always think of it as a terrible weed, and we've been for decades trying to get rid of it, but nowadays, in our place here, if you come to my residence here in Canada, we let the dandelions grow. I mean, we see them as valuable for many reasons.
I like that. And the same thing here, too. We kind of let ours grow here in our area. And a lot of people don't, but in our yard we do. And I know that you sell dandelion seed. How are the plants different of the ones you sell versus the ones that we find commonly in our yard?
Right. Well, it turns out that there are cultivated varieties of dandelion. They're not as well known here in North America, but certainly in Europe. People actually consciously grow dandelion. They buy the seeds, they plant them, and they harvest foliage, the leaves, and the roots. So those varieties tend to have bigger, thicker leaves, a little more succulent in taste, and the roots are a little bigger as well. So, yes, we have that type of dandelion. as well as we have the wild dandelion. You may wonder, why would anybody want to sell wild dandelion seeds? Well, there are people that want to grow dandelion as a crop. And in fact, there is a commercial crop for some farmers. It's a small crop, but it is a commercial crop because the dried roots are used commercially, as I mentioned, for things like coffee substitutes, but also just for the dried herb, medicinal herb market.
That's very interesting. For folks that grow that, do they put it in a special patch or a special area where they come back perennially? I mean, once they usually get started, they are usually kind of hard to get out of there.
That's right, because the seeds spread and the plant itself quickly spreads in the area. So if you would dedicate a small patch in your garden somewhere, or maybe some corner where you're not too worried about it spreading a bit, and just let them grow. Yeah, you can seed them directly there. You could even just seed them like many other plants in a seed flat or in a small pot, and then transplant the seedlings to the area. And then, of course, once established, you pretty much don't have to do anything more as the years go by. And this quality of persistence is an important quality when you think of security. You want something that you don't have to go and buy the seeds every year in order to maintain its supply. Another herb that I would encourage people to look at as something to grow for security reasons, and that is lamb's ears, quite commonly known as woolly lamb's ears. Now, the lamb's ears, the great feature of it, and for those who are not familiar with the plant, it has a very dense, hairy surface on the leaves, on both sides. It's so dense, it's really wonderful just to pick a leaf and just brush your fingers over the leaf. Kids love these plants because they can just grab a leaf and it feels so soft and wonderful. Well, how this helps with security is that they make great bandages. They make great bandages for wounds. In fact, that's exactly how the plant was used thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago even. Another name for this plant is woundwort. So it is the plant that people who suffer some kind of injury, a cut, a wound on the arms or legs, you would grab some of this plant and apply it to those wounds. And the leaf itself, not only is it soft and wonderful just as a bandage to protect the wound, but the leaf also contains substances that promote the healing. First steps of healing you want is an astringent. You want substances that are astringent that cause the bleeding to slow or stop. And that's what this woolly lamb's ear, or otherwise known as woundwort, has in its leaf.
Very interesting.
Another herb to get to know, it grows wild in our areas, and I know that there are at least related species in your area. And that is mugwort. It's one of the Artemisia, which is one of the most important medicinal genera in the herb world. All over the world, members of this genus, the Artemisia, are used in one form or another. And of course, you have a whole lot of Artemisia out your way. Sagebrush is one of those Artemisia, and there are others. You already know how resilient and how prevalent these plants are, how they can, on their own, be persistent in your localities. In our area, we see a lot of mugwort. It's Artemisia vulgaris. And, you know, in the middle of the meadow, in a pasture, you'll find a clump of it. And it's quite distinctive. There usually grows about 3 or 4 up to about 6 feet tall, and once you know what to look for, you can't really mistake it. And this plant here is really great for its bitter quality. It really helps get the digestive system going. And not only that, but also has effects on the whole hormonal balance in our system. So it's a common herb, and it's commonly used in the past as a herb that you would take at least once a year to, and let's say after a long winter, for instance, and our bodies are feeling a little bit weak, we're feeling a little bit listless after a long winter inside and not much exercise, and then you'll want a spring tonic. It was a traditional thing to do for many, many centuries, was for people to go out in spring and find some plants in the wild that they could use as a spring tonic. And this mugwort, Artemisia vulgaris, is one of them. And all those other Artemisias as well, such as sagebrush, can be used in a similar fashion.
That is so interesting, that spring tonic. And that's where root beer started, too. That was originally started as a tea or as a spring tonic, is why a lot of those roots were part of that mix.
Exactly.
All right, then, let's take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. When we return, we'll continue our discussion with Mr. Conrad Richter with Richter's Herbs. Stick around. More fun is on the way here on Western Life Radio.
Never drink and ride. Alcohol and snowmobiles do not mix. Alcohol slows down your physical and mental reactions, affecting balance, coordination, and most importantly, judgment. It also greatly reduces your risk of hypothermia. Know how prescription drugs affect you before riding. This information is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Spring is fast approaching, and Sportsman's Warehouse shares your passion for hiking, fishing, camping, and hunting. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. Sportsman's Warehouse has the latest in fishing to help you catch the big ones as the ice melts, or get above the inversion with new hiking boots. Their experts combined with a terrific selection truly make Sportsman's Warehouse the great indoors for those that love the great outdoors. Utah born and Utah proud, Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside. Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities.
Yes, bass fishing at Sand Hall State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure. Explore Utah and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov. Watch for floating debris this spring as runoff gets underway. We have some early boating reminders next on Western Life Radio. Spring is fast approaching, and Sportsman's Warehouse shares your passion for hiking, fishing, camping, and hunting. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. Sportsman's Warehouse has the latest in fishing to help you catch the big ones as the ice melts, or get above the inversion with new hiking boots. Their experts combined with a terrific selection truly make Sportsman's Warehouse the great indoors for those that love the great outdoors. Utah born and Utah proud, Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
Knowledge is power. Empower your teachers, administrators, and other school staff to defend themselves and their students. For more information, go to fasterutah.org.
Is your boat registered and insured for the summer season? Most boats must have proof of insurance on board and be properly registered with bow numbers and stickers. Take the Utah Boating or Coast Guard Auxiliary courses, and you just might get a discount on your insurance. For a copy, call 801-538-BOAT. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Watch your prop as spring boating gets underway. Ty Hunter with Utah State Parks and Recreation shares words of caution.
I think for most of our reservoirs, lakes and reservoirs we have, our state park ones, the water will come up. It'll be great. But please, again, we increase water flows and runoff coming in. We haven't had those high runoff flows for a couple of years. Just know that springtime boating could put a lot of debris in our reservoirs and lakes. So be very careful. You got those logs and other items that may be floating out there at the surface or just below the surface that could cause you a little bit of havoc. So be aware of those conditions. Where to find out that information, I would recommend to go to boating.utah.gov or to our main state park page, stateparks.utah.gov, and look at our current conditions for our lakes and our reservoirs there and research those favorite places you go and see what they're doing and what their levels are and if there are any kind of emergency notices that may be out there if there's water debris and stuff out in the lake. They'll be posted in those current conditions. They can turn a fun outing into a not-so-fun one. So just beware and cognizant of that as the runoff starts.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
Hey, let's hit the lake. Put on your life jackets and let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I won't drown and I don't have to wear my life jacket? Will I be invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my life jacket too. Anyone can drown, no matter how old they are.
Accidents do happen. Protect yourself and set an example. Wear the proper safety gear when you're on the water. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Now back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Welcome back to Western Life Radio. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff, host of this program. We have Mr. Conrad Richter with us with Richter's Herbs.
Another herb to get to know, I think, I'm sure your listeners are going to realize the common theme here is that so many of these are actually weeds and sometimes reviewed unfavorably, but this one here that I want to talk about is stinging nettle. Now, you've talked about stinging nettle in the past, but I think this is one that I would, if I'm thinking of my health security, I want to know where the stinging nettle is growing in my locality. This is an invaluable plant for food purposes and for medicinal. The main medicinal element to it is that it is just so full of mineral nutrients. And when our diet isn't all that great and we're short on things like vitamins and minerals, here's a plant that will help remedy that problem. Now, stinging nettle, well, of course, those who have brushed against it know that it stings and it's a nasty weed and you try to get rid of it, but in fact, it is well worth noting where it is because you may want to use it at some point. The yogis, these are these meditators of the East. You know, I'm thinking of India in the Himalayas. They would actually spend years meditating in a cave, and the only food they would eat would be nettles. They would spend their mornings going around looking for nettles, gather them, bring them back, cook them up, and eat them. And they could actually live on that for years. And so they did. So that's how well-balanced and how wonderful this plant is. The interesting thing is that there are chefs now, top chefs in some of the best restaurants, who are experimenting with nettles and putting it in various dishes that they're creating with nettles. So this is a plant to get to know, I think.
I agree 100%. In fact, I remember a couple of years ago we were talking, this is actually quite a trending food item in some of these top restaurants.
Exactly. People make these various pastries that are stuffed with nettles. It's a great plant to get to know.
Very cool.
And here's a herb that I think maybe not so many people are familiar with, and that is valerian. Now, valerian is another root herb. It's not a food plant. You don't ever use this for food. This is strictly for medicinal purposes. It is a European herb that has become established in eastern North America. We find it all over the place now here. It wasn't here 30, 40 years ago, but it is now slowly spreading. You can find decent-sized patches anywhere from the East Coast into Ontario and I think beyond. I'm not sure that it's established yet in your area, but I believe there's some similar or related species that may be growing in your area. Anyway, here's a plant that is perennial. It establishes well, competes against native plants and others, weeds and so on very well, and produces a root that can be used to make tinctures that will improve your sleep, will help you to go to sleep. And when you think of all the anxiety that we seem to be facing these days, it's always a good idea to have something around that can help settle you and your family down whenever there is stress, whenever there is anxiety. We may not always have access to the drugs that we commonly rely on for treatment of anxiety and nervous tension and so on and so forth. So this is a herb definitely worth looking into. It is a hardy biennial, perennial, easy to grow from seeds, grows up about 3 to 5 feet tall, can produce white masses of flowers, which attract a lot of pollinators, but it is the roots that are harvested in the fall and made into tinctures and also into teas and that sort of thing. It's not the greatest tasting thing. It's actually quite hard to take in a way, but when you know what the purpose is and how it will help you, especially when you use it as a tincture, it is actually quite worthy to have on your medicine shelf. And you can harvest the roots and dry them. In one season, you could probably produce enough to keep you going for 3 to 4 years. So it's well worth considering. Another plant that I think is worth thinking about, in our area, we often find watercress growing in wet areas. Now, this may not be the case in your area, but in our area, you can frequently find watercress growing at the edges of ponds and along rivers. And watercress is such a great food plant. It is full of nutrients. It is great in salads. It's a great tasting thing with this peppery flavor. You often find it now sold in produce sections, but this is a plant that you can have. You may find it growing in your area, or you can establish it. It doesn't actually need water to grow. It just happens to compete best against all the wild plants out there when it happens to be close to water. But the other plants don't thrive so well. The other weeds that might crowd it out don't thrive so well in a wet environment. Watercress does perfectly well in that environment. So that's why you tend to find it in that area. So watercress is a great plant to consider growing. It is hardy. It is a perennial. Once established, it'll come back every year, and you'll always have fresh watercress that you can use.
No question about it. We see it a lot in our irrigation ditches. We see it near the ponds and some of our waterways here throughout the state.
There you go. And makes great salads.
And it does have that peppery bite to it. It definitely has a spike of flavor, and it's nice to blend it with other types of greens.
Exactly. Another herb that I think people should think about growing, and many already are, of course, is the common thyme, used typically with meat dishes, and historically has been meat dishes. It is perennial, it is hardy. Once established in your garden, it will come back every year in plenty of time that you can use fresh or dry for future use. But the great thing about thyme, in a time when food becomes less secure, people, I can imagine, will start looking to the wild and go hunting for their meat supply. I can see that happening. If we had a shock in our food supply and we needed to find alternate food supplies. Well, hunting would clearly become important in many areas, and certainly in your area as well. But the thing about eating wild meats is that, unlike our modern meat system, you know, the farming system, which is highly monitored and regulated by, in the United States, the USDA and the local agricultural agencies, make sure that there are no parasites present in the meat, et cetera, et cetera. This cannot be sure of with wild meat. Wild meat could be contaminated in some fashion. There could be parasites present. But the thing about thyme is that it is one of the most intense antibiotics known. In fact, the oil of thyme is called thymol, is often added to things like mouthwash because of its ability to kill bacteria. And we talked about this in past episodes, but I'll say it again, is that the thing about thyme, the thyme has been associated with meat from time immemorial, because what people used to do in the days before refrigeration, in order to keep the meat lasting a little longer, let's say at a market where meat is being sold and there's no refrigeration, so what people found that they could do is they would grab some fresh thyme and they would rub the carcasses with it. And the antibacterial components of the thyme, such as thymol, the oil thymol, they would cover the whole carcass with that, and the meat would last longer, would last maybe a week longer than otherwise before going bad. And I believe that that tradition of putting thyme on the meat is how we arrive today to always associate thyme with things like steak. You wouldn't make a steak without putting on thyme because it adds such a great flavor. But that tradition had a more utilitarian basis going back hundreds and thousands of years ago.
You're exactly right. That is so exciting. I'm glad you're saying that, because that's a lot of those authentic flavors we associate with many of our herbs that we have culinary-wise. There's a reason why those things are part of those mixes, and you make a very good point. And the other cool thing about thyme is that there's different flavors of thyme. There's a lemon thyme. There's different variations of those same flavors that have a lot of those same benefits.
Exactly. There are literally dozens, maybe even hundreds of varieties of thymes out there, different species and different varieties among the species. So as you mentioned, you know, they have lemon thymes, we have thymes that smell and taste like caraway, the spiced caraway. We have another one that smells and tastes like nutmeg. So we get quite a wide range of flavors, but you also, the great thing about thymes is an incredible ornamental plant, and thyme is such a great addition to any garden. And you can even make thyme lawns. You could replace your grass with thyme, and thyme actually is more drought tolerant than the typical grasses. So it's something to consider in areas where water is a problem.
Great stuff. One more time, your website?
It's richters.com, richters.com.
Mr. Conrad Richter joining us once again with Richter's Herbs. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us.
Oh, it's a great pleasure.
Now's the time to seed or overseed your lawn. Timing is everything. We'll tell you why next on Western Life Radio.
Ricky, my man.
Hey, headed out on the lake, I see. These fish aren't going to catch themselves, am I right? got some brewskis from my broski.
No, thank you. That's illegal.
What? Come on, aren't you the guy that wrestled the buffalo on Antelope Island?
First of all, they're called bison, and I was delivering a breech calf.
Wow, come on, man. I'll trade you this sixer of suds for that life jacket.
A real man always wears his life vest. And he never partakes of alcohol while operating a boat. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, not everybody does.
Everybody knows that.
You got me.
Personal security is up to you as a person. TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Plant your lawn seed now to maximize potential success. Alex Grover with Utah's Best Gardening tells us why.
Right now we've got lots of water and it would be great and wonderful and everything, but we don't have time to get roots deep down before it starts getting warm. On the other hand, most of the irrigation systems are going to start running in April. And so that last week of March, you can get things planted and ready for April when your irrigation systems are running, or you can start them in April. Me, if I were just reseeding a patch here and there, I'd go ahead, get some seed, spread it now, and I'd take my risk. So again, it's really going to depend on how much water we have. And really, if it gets hot the end of March, you may have to do a little bit of extra reseeding. But again, for a smaller patch job, I don't think that's unreasonable. So I'd say, go ahead, plan on it, go get some seed. Do it the last week of March. You'll be watering in April regardless, or have the ability in most areas. Now, if you're in Lehigh, I know Lehigh has a year-round system, because that's what their fire suppression system works off. The fire hydrant is off the secondary water. So they've got a year round. So again, there's gonna be variabilities as to where you are. I do encourage you to learn how to water properly. I have never seen anybody in Utah who is watering properly at once or twice a day.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff. Spring is fast approaching, and Sportsman's Warehouse shares your passion for hiking, fishing, camping, and hunting. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. Sportsman's Warehouse has the latest in fishing to help you catch the big ones as the ice melts, or get above the inversion with new hiking boots. Their experts combined with a terrific selection truly make Sportsman's Warehouse the great indoors for those that love the great outdoors. Utah born and Utah proud, Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
Did you know that Utah's off-highway vehicle and personal watercraft youth education programs required by law are now online at www.stateparks.utah.gov? All youth must carry this certification while operating on Utah's waters or public lands. OHV education is required for youth aged to 15, and PWC education is required for youth aged 12 to 17.
Play safe, play sober. BUI is boating under the influence. It is illegal to operate a motorboat while under the influence of alcohol. And in Utah, BUI penalties are the same as DUI. It will cost you money and may cost you your life. Play safe, play sober. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Invoked from the past, he's hunting and fishing. fishing in marshes and mountains, discovering life in the backcountry wild, exploring the West with its treasures abounding, with the soul of a sportsman and heart of a child. Wild and free, the song of the mountains is calling to me.
Folks, you've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and Western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.